Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I definitely see this O-line. It definitely has its leap holes, and it definitely has their struggles. But, you know, I feel like that we can take advantage of that. You know, we got an elite D-line. You know, I feel like Pat's a little banged up, so I don't know if he's going to play or not. But I hope he's mobile enough because we coming in Arrowhead.
You guys plan to get after that?
Yeah, for sure. Pat better make a good decision. I ain't making no threats. I'm making promises.
I mean, if you're a Houston Texans reporter, we'll have Ron Hughley on the show again tomorrow of 610 in Houston. Good buddy of mine joins us again to talk Houston versus Kansas City. If you're a reporter for the Houston Texans, do you go to Tim Settle's locker and be like, hey man, did you want to make any comments or any promises for this game? And I'd be interested to see if he's like, no comment.
If I'm Tim Settle, I'm not showing up in the locker room this week. I'm not going to put myself in that position. You know how the players are. They know exactly when the media... You've been in a locker room before. Mm-hmm. As soon as that door opens and the media comes in, scatter.
Yeah, it's like cockroaches when the lights go.
That's exactly right. They run away from the media. Every player does that in all sports.
Everybody's got their little side door.
Yeah, and if I'm Tim Settle, man, I am running from the media this week. I am not showing up because his comments were bad, and then his play was bad because at one point he fell on the ground, and Patrick Mahomes is running by him, and everybody's like, "Point, this is the guy who said that we were going to get some business taken care of the Chiefs." But that's Tim Settle, and he'll be the guy that everybody's yelling at Arrowhead, I guess.
Yeah, first drive of the game actually is what it was.
It was the first drive when Patrick Mahomes ran right into the end zone, and there were people saying, I think he should probably rest the ankle this week.
I do think it's okay to take a humble approach to this game.
Sure.
Just because the time off, I'm not nervous about it. I think they're going to be just fine, but it is, you know, like we like to call it, it's nut cutting time. And this is where, you know, this is the same four teams that were here last year in the AFC. Baltimore played Houston, yep. Chiefs played Buffalo. Chiefs beat Buffalo, Chiefs beat Baltimore. That was what it was. This year, same thing. It's Houston's the four seed, Chiefs are the one seed. Obviously, Baltimore and Pittsburgh will play in that divisional round game as well. But look, the last time they played Houston, I know the Chiefs won, and the final score was 27 to 19. They kicked the field goal at the end of the game to get the onside kick and whatever, down by 8, you know, however you want to look at it. But the big injury happened to Tank Dell. Obviously, mm-hmm. It affected C.J. Stroud in that game, completely wrecked that young kid's mind because that's his good friend, snapped his leg, still caught the touchdown, gruesome injury. That defensive line is going to be the focus as we dive more and more into this game, as we lead into this game against the Houston Texans that will be played at 3:30 in Kansas City. You can hear all the action here on 96.5 The Fan with your Chiefs pregame show with all those good guys, Danan, Josh, and Mitch. That defensive line looked good against the Chargers offensive line. And I didn't really like dive down and look into the offensive line of the Chargers, but they were super outmatched and they really disrupted Justin Herbert. Again, that's not Patrick Mahomes. It's not in Kansas City. It was in Houston. They had a little bit of time to get ready for that game. And they showed up against the Los Angeles Chargers. They scored 20 unanswered points, right? Now, the plus side of this, Herbert threw four picks and one of them was for a pick six, right? When he threw it, sure. it was 13-6 and he threw the pick six and they went up 20-6, game was over. Like, mm-hmm. You could have texted us.
I thought the game was over when they settled for an early field goal in this one.
Well, in reality, the game was over when the dirty bubble picked up Harbaugh on the Nickelodeon network and then took him away.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't watch the Nick game. No.
Fortunately, we have social media. Yeah. But that is a plus side. That was Herbert in the playoffs. That's not the quarterback level that is near Patrick Mahomes. So that is a plus side. The Chargers were not ready, and Houston played at home with a week of rest. They were ready to go. Chargers clearly... opening drive, like Mack had said earlier, the scripted drive in the opening looked great. After that, the only one that really showed up in that game was Ladd McConkey, who just had an absolute monster of a game as a rookie wide receiver for them.
He was fantastic in this game. Like, is he going to get enough credit for how good he was in almost 200 yards receiving in
most
that
all time
game,
for a
right?
rookie wide receiver in the playoffs?
I mean, it was phenomenal. And the fact that they lost and really got the doors blown off them, not a lot of people are going to talk about how great Ladd McConkey is. He scares me more than Justin Herbert scares me for the Chargers as a Chiefs fan. I'm sitting here, I'm like, damn, we got to deal with Ladd McConkey for the next 10 years. Justin Herbert, yeah, I don't know if he's mentally tough enough to win when it matters most. I'm not too concerned about him.
But they do come to Kansas City, and the last time they have won in Kansas City was in 2019. In fact, it was October 13th, 2019. Obviously, we know the history of the divisional round a couple years ago when the Chiefs came back, ran out of fireworks, won the game. This year, they came to Kansas City, lost, right? And that was part of that three-game stretch in 11 days. But this is one of those games where, like, you can put the regular season aside. Ask the Chargers. Ask the Broncos. Hell, ask the Bills and the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Like, the clock gets faster, and when you go on the road, things get a little bit more intense. And I can pretty much guarantee you, once Andy Reid watched that first half against Baltimore and Pittsburgh, he was already in the preparation mode of Houston. Here we go, let's go. Sure. Like, I'm going to stay up all night Saturday night, check this thing out. Sunday, we'll get back to it. And he's probably already, and I know for a fact, he's already at One Arrowhead Drive putting together the day, Dusty.
It's 7 o'clock.
He gets up before we do.
Yeah. So. No, they're there. They were there all weekend getting ready for this game. And I think, you know, having the opportunity to know for the most part right from the beginning that it was going to be Houston that this team was going to get made it a little bit easier for them to kind of start that preparation time. And we know how good Andy is, you know, off a bye week, let alone 3 weeks to prepare, you know, for a game. They're going to be ready to go. But I want to give DeMeco Ryans a lot of credit, too, because, you know, that Tank Dell injury could have crushed this Texans season, could have ended the season, dramatically ended the season.
And it looked like it had.
It looked like it did. And to get those guys ready to roll and to play well, like they played great this past weekend against the Chargers. That's a credit to the head football coach for not letting that injury spiral this season out of control. He held it together. The team responded. They followed him. That's why he's a good head coach. I don't know anything about his X's and O's, but I know DeMeco Ryans is a leader, and he led that team once Tank Dell went down and they won a playoff game, and the Chargers didn't have that opportunity. And that's why I wasn't huge on the Chargers going into this game. The LA stuff did factor in clearly, you know, with them. They just didn't play a great game. They don't have a quarterback that I believe is mentally tough enough to win in the postseason. That one interception turned into four real fast for Justin Herbert, and Houston went out there and took advantage of it, punched him in the face and never let him back up. And so, no, I don't think anybody should be taking playing Houston for granted this weekend. I think you've got to prepare for a playoff game. They're one of the top four teams left in the AFC, and they're one of the division winners in the AFC, and they got one of the good quarterbacks in the AFC. It should be a really good game on Saturday.
We had a side conversation this weekend about who are the top five most important people of this dynasty run for the Chiefs. Obviously, still a whole lot of greatness that can be accomplished. Got to go one day at a time, one game at a time. Mm-hmm. Still have Houston at 3:30 on Saturday, but who do you have as your top five most important people in this dynasty run for the Chiefs?
Well, you start to look at what's going on here in Kansas City with this dynasty and the importance of this three-peat. And as we get closer and closer to that Super Bowl and closer to the opportunity of the three-peat, it becomes more important to win it now, because I do think Denver's here to stay. I do think the Chargers are going to be a good team. I do think Pete Carroll could end up, you know, in Las Vegas. Then all of a sudden you got a division that has Jim Harbaugh, Andy Reid, Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, all Super Bowl head coaches. Three of them would have won a Super Bowl, and Harbaugh being the one who won a national championship in college. So I think you need to take advantage of this opportunity, because I do think if the Chiefs win, we are going to see changes that do happen here in Kansas City. Maybe Spags takes a head coaching job. Maybe so-and-so decides to retire. Maybe this guy decides to step away or not get signed back as a free agent. I think there could be changes. But when you encompass this dynasty and start to think about the people who are the most important to this dynasty, number one for me is Clark Hunt, because he pivoted and his family pivoted, and the Hunt family, I should say, pivoted and said, we're not doing this anymore. We're going out and we're hiring Andy Reid, and we're keeping Andy Reid here in Kansas City. It would have been real easy for the Chiefs to fire Todd Haley and Romeo Crennel and go an easier route, a cheaper route, or whatever the case may be. They didn't. They went in. They paid off all of those coaches. They bought in new coaches and spent a lot of money doing all that. So the Hunt family comes in at number one for me as the most important part of this dynasty, because without them willing to make change, we don't have Andy Reid. Then Andy Reid is number two for me on that list. Obviously, he sets the tone. Patrick Mahomes comes in at number three. I think Spags is more important to this dynasty than a lot of people want to give him credit for. With the way that this defense has played over the last 5 years, he came in and took over a defense that was brutally awful from Bob Sutton, turned it around, and then Brett Veach comes in at number five for me.
Nice. My top five are kind of obscure. Number one is the Philadelphia Eagles franchise. Thank you for firing Andy Reid and letting him become a free agent, because to go to your point of Clark Hunt, the minute he was released, he had a bunch of opportunities to go somewhere else. Clark Hunt made sure that he never took that flight to Arizona.
That's right.
He never left Kansas City. The rest is history.
Right.
Number two is Buffalo. Without Buffalo trading to the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't get Patrick Mahomes. The rest is history with Patrick Mahomes. So, yes, Philly, Buffalo. But wait, there's more. Number three, the San Francisco 49ers. They've given you two Super Bowls. The first one, they had the interception. They went and, you know, chalked it up in the camera. They were up 11, all that sort of thing, or 10 points. They were up 10, and the Chiefs came back and won because they got that fuel of the fire. You opened up that can of worms, or you awoke that sleeping giant, which didn't turn into Jet Chip Wass. How you doing? Number four, Patrick Mahomes. Without Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback, goes back to Belichick and Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. Without Andy Reid and without Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if either one are the same success outside of this franchise. No. Could Mahomes go win a title for somebody else? Yeah, maybe one, not three, and not potentially four with the writing of a three-peat.
And we saw Andy without Patrick Mahomes. Right. Good, not great.
And again, the other one would be Andy Reid. Andy Reid changed the foundation of this entire franchise. When he got hired, I compared it to a garden. He had to go in there and till it all up, get all the bad roots out, replant his seeds. It took a little bit of time, and now that thing is on a pattern every single season where it is watered the same way. It grows the same way. You know which row is which row. You have everything in a line. Everybody knows about it. Everybody that wants to be a part of it buys in, and this franchise has been not the same since Andy Reid took over. So I'll go Philadelphia, Buffalo, San Francisco, Patrick Mahomes, and Andy Reid. Coming up on the other side, Derek Johnson, linebacker, great for the Kansas City Chiefs. He'll join us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it, Derek Johnson will join us here in 5 minutes on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, 7000 Squibb Road, that's the address. T-shirts by Gates are getting passed out by Rob Breton, Carrington Harrison. So you want to get here about 10 a.m., 7000 Squibb Road. You need to see Mac's sweet jacket. I'm jealous of that jacket. I want that jacket.
It's pretty sick, bro.
Yeah, we need to do like a jersey swap radio version. Yeah,
yes, yes.
Bob has no issues with that because he'd give us that one. He'd be like, I got seven more of these in different colors.
That's true.
They're good shirts.
Were they $5, $5.99.
No doubt,
32
dude.
Degrees.
Yeah, why not?
Pretty damn good.
I still haven't found that price. Like, they had a 90% off sale the other day. It was like $12.99 for these. I'm like, nah, I paid $5.99. Yep. Can't pay $12.99.
Dusty, put some respect on Dan Israel and Art Haynes. They'll also be on that pregame show that you can hear on 96.5 The Fan on Saturday.
I believe we'll do an extended pregame as well.
So who?
We'll do an extended pregame as well.
Oh, okay. Who's doing that, you?
I think I'll be on from 10 to noon.
10 nice. To noon. Look at you. How about that?
You remember when I used to do those and I had to call every single host?
Oh, yeah.
This is a little side note, just a little peek of the future. Text Bob first. He'll want to go on early first, yeah. And then he's on with he's got to be the game.
Got to be the game. Got to be on with the day. Got things going on. Text.
I'll be Ubering straight from here.
You can't fireball and talk.
What time are you going on? 10 to noon on Saturday.
Hopefully get the stadium around 12:30.
So you love that 3:30 start.
Yes. Yeah, that's it's a good time to start. This is 34 years ago today. It was Bo Jackson's final NFL game.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable. Still watching that run there. He blew out his hip and affected his entire sports
career. Against Cincinnati, right?
Yep.
And then that would happen to Priest Holmes because of Sean Merriman.
Mm-hmm.
Jerk. Lights out. Never liked that dance.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just never liked it.
Priest is like one of those guys where I just look at and go, we got cheated. You know,
every team he played for got cheated. In Texas, he gets hurt. Ricky Williams comes in.
Yep.
Hello. Baltimore, he gets hurt. Jamal Williams comes in.
Jamal Lewis comes in.
2,000 yards. Gone. Comes to Kansas City. Balls out. Gets hurt. Career over. Larry Johnson comes in. Yeah. Rest of the story.
The life of a running back. But, like, he's always that one where I just feel like, damn, we got cheated out of Priest Holmes, man. Like,
but it was sweet.
I mean, those 2.5 years.
Was it like 01 to 03 or 03, 02 to whatever it was?
Week 6 of 01 against Pittsburgh is really when he took off. And then kind of fell off like the early parts of 04.
I remember, you know? Dante Hall used to do a podcast, and I had to produce it. The old boss is like, you just need to edit it. There's going to be a lot of editing. And Dante Hall and I would, you know, connect, and I'd be, who's your guest this week? And he'd be like, oh, it's Priest Holmes. Just dial him up. I'm like, all right. And Priest told a good story that at the time when Priest Holmes was here, they were still using Tony Richardson as basically like the lead back.
He was, yeah.
And finally, Tony Richardson, being the great guy that he was, went to the coaching staff, was like, hey, you might want to start giving 31 the ball and let me get out there and lead block. We can do it better that way. And once that happened, like mid-season.
No, it was either week 6 against Pittsburgh or Washington, mm-hmm. and I can't remember now. I think it was, God, I want to say Washington. He had a big game, or it was one of the two squads where he had a big game, and then it was over. They never looked back after that.
No, and then it was just, you know, Priest Holmes, Larry Johnson, Jamal Charles.
Like, I mean, it's running back.
Then you're like, Kareem Hunt, and now it's full circle for Kareem Hunt. Is I think he's probably the most hungriest person on this roster to win a title. I know that's probably like, you know, can be a little bit of a hot take-ish type of thing on a Monday morning, but, you know, obviously these guys want to win a three-peat, but just go back in time and look what, you know, happened to Kareem Hunt, made some bad decisions, got, you know, in trouble with the DUI and told the police officer in the back seat, like, I've screwed my life up. I could have won a Super Bowl. Now he has his opportunity to do that with the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Houston Texans, but it is that time to get our guy Derek Johnson on the line.
He's the Chiefs' all-time leading tackler and 4-time Pro Bowler.
Derek Johnson picks it. He's up the right sideline, 30-yard line, 25, and down into Washington territory. Derek Johnson.
But to us, he's our forever linebacker.
I want to be battle tested. I want to go through some adversity. I want to go through some things where you say, "Oh man, we gotta figure this out."
Here's number 56, Derek Johnson, with Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Priest Holmes had 147 yards against Washington in week 3. So that's kind of when they made that turn.
Got the team right, got the yardage basically right, just a little off on the weeks.
And then week 5 against Pittsburgh, he ran for 150. And then I think we knew after week 3 and week 5, we had ourselves a pretty good football player.
It is DJ time here on 96.5 The Fan on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Morey as well. Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member, owner, open to all, invested in you. And also Sheet Metal Workers, local number 2. DJ, how you doing on this Monday morning, my man?
Man, I'm doing well, man. It's becoming very common to be off on the wild card weekend. I'm sitting up. I'm missing part of games. I'm not even in front of the TV like that. So it's pretty cool this weekend.
Yeah,
no stress.
No stress at all, but also the opportunity for these dudes to just rest. And, you know, I used the analogy earlier. I said, I haven't run in 3 days because I hurt myself. And boy, I feel better after 3 days rest. What does 3 weeks rest do for an NFL player at this point in time?
You know what? Some people may say, man, you know, you worry about the guys coming out slow just because, you know, they've been off and haven't been in game mode. But no, not in NFL, it's a little bit different than if it was a college team or a high school team or something like that. These guys know what it takes to win. These guys know what it takes to get going. And they know that that small task of starting fast, they got to get over that little hurdle. But after that, being able to be healthy, rested up, that's a bonus. And it really, really helps out. And we're at home, too. So we got the 12th man with us. So it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I see a lot of those, little subplots there with getting the rest, being at home, having time to, you know, check everything out. You also had time to sit back and watch as a organization, from head coach to coordinators and everything. The Houston Texans, DJ, I'll ask you, were they just like madmen on defense, or was a lot of it Justin Herbert just kind of, you know, fumbling under the pressure?
Well, a little bit of both. There were times where you say, man, Justin, what is that? But they do have a good defense, being able to have a head coach that's a defensive-minded guy. You would expect them to play really, really well on defense, or if anything, it's going to be consistent and working. The defensive side of the ball was really rallying and really helped them win. I mean, they kind of took the bull by the horn and said, okay, we're going to offense is really up and down. Defense, we can win this game ourselves. So, but again, regardless of who's coming in, especially this divisional round, this first round for us, it's going to be hard for anybody coming to Arrowhead, man. We're going to be rocking and rolling, and our motivation is pretty cool. It's kind of not realistic, but it's like, golly, our motivation is a three-peat. It's like, wow, like three times in a row, Super Bowl. In order to win one Super Bowl, a lot of things have to go right for you, and we have an opportunity to go for a three-peat. So I'm super, super excited.
And that's part of the reason, too, DJ, why I think it's so important to go out there and win this one, you know, grab that third one and set the record now, because you may not ever have the opportunity to be in this position again to go after a three-peat.
Right. This doesn't come around a lot, I say that. That's kind of hard to say that with how the Chiefs are succeeding every single year. But every year it's a different team. I mean, since the first Super Bowl, I mean, we've only it's probably eight since the first Super Bowl of Andy's era in, 2019. Mm-hmm. We only have, I mean, under 10 players on the roster, like, from that. So that tells you what Britt Veach has done with this roster each year, getting younger, getting better players and people to fit the scheme offensively and defensively. Of course, you know, the common denominator, having Andy and Pat, that kind of sets you up. So this is we're in good standings, man. I can't freaking wait to Saturday.
No doubt about it. When you look at a guy like C.J. Stroud and what he did against the Los Angeles Chargers, I thought he had a pretty good game this weekend. I thought he was the second. Well, depending on what you define as quarterback play overall, Lamar Jackson was good. Josh Allen was great. C.J. Stroud was good. Obviously, he had the ball given to him a lot by Justin Herbert. But as a defensive mindset, what do you do to attack somebody like a C.J. Stroud coming into a place, like you said, which is going to be, you know, a ruckus environment in Arrowhead? Like, what do you do as a defensive stat to really disrupt C.J. Stroud in this game?
Well, you make him make mistakes. You make him make some hard decisions. I don't think Spags is going to change up anything at all. I think he what you do is stop the run, which is, you know, Mixon is a really, really good running back. So that's a hard task at that. But if we can stop the run, you earn the right to rush the passer. And we got some guys to get out of the quarterback, not just on the outside, but the inside too. This will be a game where you want to blitz them. You want to all out. You want to show them different looks, because they're going to have to keep up with what we do on offense and how much we score. Not that we're going to blow the scoreboard up, because we haven't did that this year, but you talk about being efficient. You talk about whenever it matters, our offense is going to put up points, and it's going to put the pressure on C.J. Stroud to handle this hostile crowd. I mean, I don't know what it's like to be in Arrowhead and the opponent. I just heard it's not good.
Talking with Derek Johnson here on 96.5 The Fan.
It's not good.
It's not good. No, it definitely, you know, is not good in those situations. But, you know, Andy Reid has done such an unbelievable job since he's come over here, obviously from Philadelphia, making the playoffs every year, but one, you know, since he's been in Kansas City, again, putting this team by dominating the regular season in position to rest players. And, you know, fans are ticked in other cities that they had the opportunity to do all that last week. But this is how Andy Reid kind of draws it up, isn't it? When you go to training camp, like, these are the goals that they set, and they just kind of check off the goals as they go.
Yeah, that's the amazing part about it. Everybody has big time plans before the season. I mean, if you were to go into every locker room and training camp of every team, you would think, man, this team has a chance. That team has a chance. That team has a chance. But, you know, we're doing something right. Andy has something that's working here. He's always had that, even when he was in Philly. But he took that next step to just going all the way every single year. And he has a plan that's in place, and the guys are buying in. And don't get me wrong. I love coaching. I love to see coaches bring the best out of players and put them in the best situation so they can have the most success. But at the end of the day, even the best coaches will tell you, hey, we need some players all in. As a coach, they are very experienced and they know a lot, but they need a few good guys to really help them out to execute to win it all. And Andy Reid has been blessed to have certain key guys on the team that just set Kansas City on fire.
I love that you mentioned key guys on this team, and we talked to the defensive mind of Derek Johnson here, who played linebacker. Obviously, everybody knows that in Kansas City, but who is like an X factor? I know it's Monday. I know the game isn't until Saturday at 3:30, but who is Derek Johnson's X factor this week against Houston on the defensive side of the ball?
Ooh, that's a good question. Naturally, I want to go Nick Bolton because he's the guy that just puts it all together. He wears the dot, and he has to command that huddle and get everybody on the same page and be able to. He's in the middle of the field, so he has the opportunity to make a lot of plays. But I want to go Justin Reed. He's gotten so much better since he's gotten to Kansas City. It's unbelievable. Like. Big time player. You talk about someone that can come up and make a tackle inside the box. Someone who, when there's a screen play, come up and make a play on a receiver, or you want to cover a receiver, cover a tight end, a really good tight end. Like he can do it all. So he's that. It's probably a bad word to say, a honey badger, but a bigger guy, bigger presence.
Talking with Derek Johnson, and Justin Reed obviously is a guy who could be playing his last couple of games here in Kansas City as well. I mean, we're going to get to the end of the season. He's going to be, you know, up. Trey Smith is going to be up. Do guys think about that as they're getting ready for the postseason? Like, this could be my last one or two games that I ever play with this franchise?
I don't know. After the game, maybe, but not during that time. It's always a year-by-year basis because you never know. Regardless if you have five more years left on your deal or one more year left on your deal, it's about now. The NFL is not for long, and if you have an opportunity to conquer the moment, that's the one thing the Chiefs have been doing better than anybody else. Saying, hey, regardless of all the different contracts we have going on, this guy may be leaving, that guy may be staying. We come together for a year to say, hey, this is all we got. This is all we need. And these guys are taking advantage of it each time.
One of the narratives that Bob uses, DJ, is that you don't take these moments for granted. Kind of going back and piggybacking on your home crowd advantage, is there a time when these players, I know the regular season, it's always there and the fans are crazy loud and it's awesome, but like, is there a moment as like a player of Kansas City where you go out there and you kind of like take the full 360 view of Arrowhead and just kind of soak that in, and that gives you that juice to go out there and pop somebody?
It does. And the political or the thing to say, the correct thing to say is say, you know, we can play in front of, you know, we don't have to play in front of anybody. We can go out there because we love football and we're passionate. Yeah. But if you could get a crowd the way we get a crowd and the loudness, and how you set the decimal at the highest level, 142 or 43 or whatever it is. That's I'm a defensive guy, so when I can't hear the person next to me, I'm in heaven. I'm good. I'm good to go.
All right, let's talk big picture. The games this weekend, other than last night, weren't exactly great. Why do you think they were such lopsided games in the first round of the playoffs?
Yeah, that's always, Man, that's other than the Tampa game, Tampa and Washington game. It was lopsided. And I honestly thought it would be. For some reason, I'm looking at it. I'm saying, hey, first half, things are, you know, in most of these games, they'll be close. And then eventually they will get, you know. And at the end of the day, it's about matchups. And a lot of these teams aren't experienced mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Just, you know, that's one of those things. That's why you can take the Chiefs. If you want to bet on anybody, you bet on the Chiefs, because you bet on either you bet on a super loaded team for a team that gets together for 1 year, and you know, like the LA Rams, somebody that gets together and put a lot of people together, and you win it that year. That's only for that year, but or you go with an experienced team that someone who, you know, don't get me wrong, we're pretty loaded too, but we have a really, really good nucleus of players, and we've been there. We know what to expect when crunch time comes, and Pat Mahomes is going to make the right throw. He's going to make the right read. He's going to make the right run if he needs to, and our defense is going to get after any kind of quarterback that comes in the arrowhead.
And I think also, too, where the Chargers, you know, kind of lost it is they settled for field goals early, man. If Houston's settling for field goals early at Arrowhead on Saturday, they don't stand a chance.
No, not at all. Field goals do not win you games now. That's just how it is. Back in the day, if you kick a lot of field goals and, you know, play good defense, you know, still can to manage. Right now, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, the margin of error is just so different now, and people score more points. Offenses are better now, so you just can't go out there and say, hey, offense, give me 17 points, and, you know, defense, we're going to say, man, we need a little bit more than that, buddy.
All right, DJ. Well, I mean, good luck. You got till Saturday at 3:30 to keep all the emotions, and you know, I don't know if we're gonna see you run out there on the field in the 56 jersey, but you got 6 days, man, or however many days. I've lost count. Just get me to Saturday, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
All right, y'all take it easy.
No doubt. Derek Johnson there, brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invested in you, and also Sheet Metal Workers Local Number 2. I always wonder if like they find that one crazy fan. And they're like, all right, if that guy's on that level, now I'm up another level.
Yeah.
Like, there's always that guy that wears the blazer behind
the end
zone.
Like, you saw the guy in Buffalo with, like, Nate Burleson's jacket on. Cool was that guy?
I mean,
with the chicken wings. Like, that guy's awesome.
I want to hang out with
that guy. Yeah. We got to get him here, right?
Yeah, that I'll go through a table. That's for sure what happened.
Did you see the dude jump into the table and almost snap his neck?
That dude's concussed, I can tell you that much.
I mean, I've never seen a body bend that way outside of Tuesday.
Or on like a Rob Dyrdek show, you know, whatever. Ridiculousness. Don't forget, division round coverage is brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Changing the format. That was what we saw this weekend. We talked about it. Some people thought it was clickbait. I'll explain why it makes sense here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on a Monday. Do these weeks go by fast or slow to you? Or do you have to get to a certain day? Because, I mean, I love the fact they're playing Saturday at 3:30. Because if they do win, the rest of your night's awesome. Or I should say, when they win, the rest of your evening is fantastic. Because then you're like, oh, I don't really care about this Detroit-Washington game. Oh, I just want to see, you know, a good game.
You know what? Here's what's going to happen.
Because that is the second game on Saturday.
Yeah, here's what's going to happen. I'm bummed because it's Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan this Saturday night. So I'm going to have to miss that because of the Chiefs game, which I'm fine with, you know. I'm like there'll always be that one person that maybe you'll never get to see, you know. I don't know who that may be for you guys, like that one band, that one artist, that one comedian.
Never get to see
him. Well, he's dead, yeah. So you never. Is that the one that you kind
I
of
never
regret.
Got to see him, and I kind of wish I would have.
Yeah, like I always look back at like Frank Sinatra. I wish I would have gotten like my parents
it
were
was
headed
long
to
gone before I had a chance.
I know my parents were headed to a Frank Sinatra concert in the 80s, and it was canceled as they were driving there. And so they to this day they're like, ah, Frank Sinatra screwed us. And then, you know, I kind of like Frank Sinatra music, so they kind of got back. Either way, but like there's always going to be that one person that and Seinfeld just may end up being that guy. You know,
I wonder
for me,
what his crowd's going to look like too.
That's the thing.
What?
man.
Why is
like,
nobody here?
Don't you think with a football game, they would have rescheduled the show?
It's not like you didn't think they were going to play again next week. No. They win all the time.
So that's why, honest to God, why I thought this game would be on Sunday. Because yeah, right. How many people are supposedly going to, you know, T-Mobile to watch Seinfeld and Gaffigan? If they sell that thing out, that's 18,000 people right. that are going to that thing. So I don't know how they come up with the formula.
You could still go. You just may not remember the show.
So that my wife last night, she goes, so are we going like right to Seinfeld after the game? I'm like, I don't want to, no.
Game comes down to a field goal, Chiefs win in the last second. The last place you want to go is sit down and watch comedy.
Right, exactly. And so right. I'm like, I can't commit to that, you know? And so I'm sure a lot of people are wrestling with this dilemma right now. Now, if you're not going to the game, it's 3:30. You got plenty of time to get to the show and whatnot. But, you know, right. I think it starts at 7 or 8. The game starts at 3:30. It's over 6:30, 7 o'clock by the time you get to the car, get to the bus and, you know, get back out, you know, on the highways and get out of there. So it's going to be a tough one. And like these are Mission Hills problems that we're living in right now. Yeah. God forbid I have to miss Seinfeld to go watch a Chiefs playoff game, right? Like, oh, woe is me. Here's my little fiddle that everybody is, you know, is going to be playing. But I'm with Dusty. If you have that first game and you win, the rest of the weekend is fantastic.
House money.
You have that first game and you lose, pitchers and catchers report, man.
Yeah.
Because I told Dusty during the break, I said, if something should happen and they don't win in the postseason, like, how invested are you going to be afterwards? I think in Kansas City, the time that the Chiefs lose in the playoffs and don't advance, we've already seen them not advance to a Super Bowl. But if they lose in, like, a divisional round or something, I mean, I don't want to see Monday morning. Like, you thought the snow days were bad where nobody was going to work. The football team, I've always said, in every town affects the mood of everybody on a Monday. And if you lose in the postseason, which we have in the past, that carries, man. That carries for a while.
Yeah,
especially this game.
Yeah.
Losing next weekend's a little bit different than losing this weekend.
Enough talk about losing.
Yeah, enough
guys.
Talk. Yeah, exactly. But we're just having the conversation because everybody, you know, like, do you love that 3:30 Saturday game? Yeah. If you lose that 3:30 Saturday game, like, Houston fans going to suck the rest of the weekend.
This is maybe, and I feel like, Bob, this is right up your alley. Do you remember what day they played the AFC Championship game on last year? Was it a Saturday or a Sunday?
The AFC Championship's always on a Sunday.
Oh, I thought they flipped every year.
No, they flipped the times. Like, the AFC's early, then the NFC's late. This year, the AFC's the late game.
So it's always on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So we at least know, right?
Right.
You have to change that playoff format. But there was conversation of that.
JB, three games this week featuring teams with better records than their opponents, but playing on the road, including the one that we have coming up in an hour. Now, the NFL will take another look this offseason at potentially changing the playoff format. Maybe top four teams in win percentage get a home game instead of division winners. Team owners haven't shown much of an appetite for changing, though.
Why would they? Right? Like, because they want that home game and that money. But again, last night, perfect example, Washington, 12-5, went and played against the
team
10-7.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
Like, so the only way you change the format,
Minnesota,
and I know,
playing in the Rams tonight,
right?
Again,
at least they put that on a neutral site game, but I mean,
didn't plan on it.
They didn't plan on it. Yeah. No, that's true. They didn't plan on that one. Duh.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I thought, like, oh, at least they got a neutral site game.
Like, there's some guy who's a Minnesota fan out there lighting fires, which I don't think that was the case, but even though they are human lit, but either way.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. But if we're going to do it, you know, and reseed and all that, then just eliminate the divisions and ask yourself this. Like, I feel this way with baseball, okay? The American League Central. Like, do you need to really see the Tigers and the White Sox and the Twins 13 times a year, right? Probably not. And I'm sure no matter what division you're in sports, maybe you get tired of seeing the same teams over and over again, get stale. I wouldn't mind blowing up the divisions and keeping the AFC, NFC, but doing it all scheduling kind of a round robin type of schedule. Now, you get to protect one rivalry, right? Each team gets to protect one rivalry. I think it would be Raiders and Chiefs, and you would play them home and away each year. But other than that, it becomes a round robin based on the formula that they're going to use for strength of schedule and all that kind of stuff to get everybody to kind of play everybody. And then maybe we can start seeding based on winning percentage. But until the NFL is willing to get rid of the divisions, which divisions were started in sports back in the early 1900s because you had to take a train to go to these places. So they wanted to keep these teams close so you wouldn't have to travel all that. Mm-hmm. That doesn't matter anymore. I think you could eliminate the divisions, seed teams 1 through 16 in the AFC and the NFC, and then that's how you kind of do your plan. I mean, they're doing it anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Like when you start to see the early standings of the postseason, who's the best record, who's the second best record, like they've already got it out there. Why not start doing it that way? Eliminate divisions, protect one rivalry game for every team, and then just seed them 1 through 7 based on winning percentage.
I think it's kind of based on my opinion, kind of like how college football was, right? Like just because Boise State won the Mountain West doesn't mean they should have gotten a first round bye. Because you look at the division and the statistics of that number and like the winning percentage in that division or that conference was not great. The other thing I would ask is like, you know, in the playoffs, you know, this is again we're spitballing trying to come up with new ideas. Why does it always have to be the AFC versus the AFC, the NFC versus the NFC? What if the Super Bowl was the Bills versus the Chiefs? What if the Super Bowl was like the Lions and the Vikings? Like, yeah. What if that was the case? Is there any sort of, you know, longevity that I know there's a lot of people like, no, keep the Super Bowl always AFC, NFC, which is totally fine. Mm-hmm. I'm totally good with that. But again, like, what if that was the possibility where, like, you know, because how many times have we heard it before? Bills Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, or Bills Ravens, or Chiefs Ravens in the AFC Championship game, that is the Super Bowl.
Oh, every year. Right?
If Bills Chiefs play in the Super Bowl, and let's say somehow Minnesota makes it to the Super Bowl, they get in there, do you think there'll be more hype around Bills Chiefs, or do you think there'd be more hype around Bills and Bills Chiefs or Chiefs Vikings?
Chiefs Bills.
Yeah, and that would be a bigger game for the Super Bowl than it would be an AFC Championship game.
That's interesting because
a lot of people say that championship weekend is the best weekend of the playoffs.
See, I've heard a lot of people say divisional is the best weekend of the playoffs as well, right? Depending on how you want to view it, more games on the divisional weekend. The Viking thing is an interesting one, Dusty, because they've never won a Super Bowl. When was the last time the Vikings were in a Super Bowl? It wasn't Super Bowl IV, obviously. They played some others since. But, I mean, you're talking like the 70s, the last time the Vikings were in the Super Bowl. I think if the Vikings get into the Super Bowl, you're going to kind of see the internet break, much like it did when Kansas City first got into the Super Bowl and whatnot. I think America likes these teams that haven't been there for a while. That's why they like Detroit, Buffalo, you know, Minnesota, everybody kind of rooting for the underdog, and I use that term loosely, but those are teams that never won, right? Minnesota Vikings have never won a Super Bowl. Detroit's never won a Super Bowl, and Buffalo's never won a Super Bowl. If one of those three gets into the Super Bowl this year, that's who everybody's going to be rooting for. There's no doubt everybody's going to be rooting, you know, for one of those teams. But you mentioned getting rid of the AFC and the NFC. I'm going to make a bold statement here. And you're going to roll your eyes. You're going to go, you're an idiot. I promise you will, both of you. I think baseball gets rid of American and National League before football gets rid of AFC and NFC.
I don't think that's a horrible take. They already play what, like every team in Major League Baseball plays each other, right? So, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
for the postseason and everything, like just get rid of it all. Have like East and West and go combine everybody. Yeah. You know, no, but I mean, just get rid of American and National and call the Eastern side and the Western side, however you want to do it. I think baseball, because I think Rob Manfred is more, the term visionary may aggravate some baseball people, but he's willing to make changes, right?
Say he's willing to change.
He's willing to make changes. Yeah, like big time changes. So I could see baseball getting rid of American and National League before the football gets rid of AFC and NFC. But I like that idea. Like, I'm all about changing some things because some stuff does get stale after a while.
Yeah, maybe that's my old man take, but now just keep the same. We're good.
Yeah, you're with the text line. Nobody in the text line agrees. Okay, no one in the text line. Said.
Okay,
they all hate it.
Why though? If you could present some reasons other than this is the way it's always been, right? And I'm used to it this way. Like, I think Dusty gives some good reasons, some good takes about why we should look at doing something different. I'm always open to making changes. If it's better for the sport, let's go for it. If it doesn't work, you can always go back, right? Like, that's the great thing about the NFL. They make changes all the time, and then they go, that sucked, back to the original.
Yeah.
And they go back to whatever they were doing the prior year. So you can make these changes, enact these changes, see how these changes go. If they're total disasters, then punt. Not a big deal.
From the 816, stop trying to engineer the best games. It's never going to work. Good matchups on paper, dud games all the time. And then the other one from the 785, have the seventh seed play the two seed in the NFC, so on and so on, like the World Cup. So, like, you'd have, you know, Buffalo play Philadelphia, or you'd have Washington, or I guess you'd have Washington play Buffalo. Like, that's how they would do that. Like,
I'm not understanding that.
You'd have the seventh seed in the AFC, Denver play the two seed in the NFC, and the seventh seed in the NFC play the two seed in the, you know what I'm saying?
So you switch. Cross.
I kind of like that. Cross yeah, sides. That's
not
cool.
Interesting.
No,
creation, it's not a bad
no, I like that. Yeah. That's a good one. Take the day off.
Yeah. Then
no, that's cool.
Because then Baltimore doesn't play Pittsburgh, yeah. Right? You don't have that 3-5 matchup. Then they play Minnesota, and it's Baltimore-Minnesota.
No, I got goosebumps from that, man. That's cool. Let's go, man. You get the day off for that. That's
have
a good
day,
one. 785
on a Monday. It's 7:57. You're off on the other side. Speaking of being off, I don't even want to hear my script because I was so bad. We'll do that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.